Welcome to High Point Wednesday Night Bible Study. Thank you for being here. The subject matter is What's the Fear? Before that, I just want to introduce my friend Mary Dennis. I'm sorry, she's a very good friend of mine, and I'm just thrilled that she's here with me tonight and with our group of family here. She is a sister in the Lord, and my sweet husband, I'll include him also. We love him dearly. But thank you all for being here. And yeah, I do want to open with prayer. As y'all can tell, I'm rambling because my head is like, which direction am I going tonight? So it's like I'm trying to settle myself in my spirit. But we will open with prayer. We just want to say thank you, Lord, for this wonderful evening, Father. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you want us to know you more than we really press in to know you. And I thank you that you have opened the doors of heaven and poured out your love on us, Lord, that we can get to know you and come close to you again. And Lord, I just thank you for this time, and thank you for the hearts that have come in tonight. They may their hearts be settled, ready to hear a word that you have to speak to them. For each one of us, we all have issues in different places where our life is in different, our hearts are in different places. But you are greater than our hearts, and you know exactly what each one of us needs. So tonight, Lord, I pray that you will open their hearts and they will yield themselves to you as you activate a seed that's sown into their heart tonight, that they begin to grow and flourish, and that they see the harvest on this earth while they're still here at High Point as you go forth amongst this community and show yourself to this area. And we just give you the praise and the glory in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the subject matter is What's the Fear? Last week I talked about that, just do a quick highlight on it. Fear is the power of the devil. Fear is a spiritual power. It's not an emotion. It plays on the emotions, and it enters like being afraid and frightful and dreadful and terror, but it's a power. And we know that we do not battle with flesh and blood. We battle against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness and of high places. So if we can understand that fear is not an emotion, it feels like an emotion because we believe it's an emotion. We think it's an emotion, and it does affect us. That's where it plays into the soul. But it's a power that it's a spiritual power that the devil uses. And so the scripture that I'm using for the teach off of is Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So at one time we had a spirit of bondage before we were born again. Every human being is born with a spirit of bondage, okay? And that's where the fear comes in. That's where we're under the power of fear. The power and the force of fear. And fear is just the word. It says it's a phobos. Phobos is the Greek word for it. It means fear, dread, that which strikes terror. Bondage, in the spirit of bondage, that is as a metaphor for slavery. It means to obey, to submit to, in a good sense, to yield to obedience. But in a bad sense, it's of those who become slaves to some base power, to yield and give oneself up to it. So when Adam fell, he yielded himself and all of mankind, therefore, to this base power. And this is what Satan has used, and he still uses. That's the only thing that he can use against us is fear. But it's not even his anymore. It's been taken from him. But if we don't know that, that's the only thing he can use. Remember, I said there's two significant spiritual principles in the spirit realm, and Romans talks about that. It's the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, and the law is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and the law of sin and death. And that's, again, we're up in the spirit realm. It's a principality. What's the principle, the thing that you follow? That's what that word means, principalities. And they are driven by demonic forces or by the Lord. Which one are you? Which one are you in your heart and your mind following? The spirit of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the law of sin and death? And I said in that teaching that the law of sin and death is in the flesh. That law is still very active in you and me when we get born again. It's still, because the flesh is still corrupt. We have not been redeemed in our body yet. It's to come. But God, because of the law of the spirit of life in Christ, has given us the ability to rise above the law of sin and death, right? So if the law of sin and death is sin has been taken care of, and you know it has been, and it has been in Christ for the whole world. When you and I get born again, we get the forgiveness, receive it, and that sin is not the issue in use in my y'all's heart and my heart. Y'all's, is that good language? Use in our hearts. Between God and us is not the issue at all. So if we understand the forgiveness, it shouldn't be an issue in your heart. If you truly believe you're forgiven and know what that's all about, you will not be sin conscious. But the law of sin and death, death is still very active. And there's where we fall in a snare to the enemy. Because death is a spiritual realm, just like life is a spiritual realm. So the death realm, the realm of death, is at the fall when Adam fell. That is, the spiritual death just means a conscious awareness of non-existent with God. That's death. So when you hear the terminology death, that's what you need to think about. Spiritual. Come on up into the spirit, y'all. Get out of the natural realm. Quit thinking physically. Quit thinking in the natural realm. When you hear these words, when you read these words, you need to ask yourself, as you're becoming a student in the Word, you need to process this. And eventually it becomes part of you because you just see it so much and you know it. You're changing your thoughts. You're coming into the order of God, okay? So when you see the word death, you need to think, I'm separated immediately from God, and I'm very aware of it. But you're not thinking like that, but your spirit man inside knows, and you know, because it becomes a very uneasy place for you. So when, if the devil, and he does this, is how he does it. He uses fear, because Hebrews 13:8, let me go there, I want to read it. I think it's 13:8. Ooh, my blood is moving, my face is really hot, and my ears are getting hot, and I can't. Excuse me, it's not 13:8. It's 2:13, my fault. 2:15. Hebrews 2:15. He's talking in 14. For as much then as the children of are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. When Adam fell, he gave over the dominion to Satan. So death is the realm. When Adam fell, he separated himself from God. In the garden, remember, he went there. When he ate, he became naked and afraid. Fear was what told him he was naked. He knew. I can't say he knew the fullness of what took place there, but he knew he was naked, without defense, helpless. And he had, and I'm going to go over the temptations real quick just to show something in just a minute. But what he's saying here, and he's talking about the devil, and delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And what he's really saying here is not afraid of people being afraid of dying, the physical death, but they are. But what he's pointing out here is that through the realm of death, that spirit realm of death, it's through fear that we're put into bondage. So it's like, as he says in Ephesians, by grace through faith you're saved. It's by death through fear you're brought into bondage. So you have to really understand what fear is. Fear is not an emotion. It is a power of darkness that he uses to get us into the realm of death, because death has its own payment, death. If Satan can keep you and me in fear, which really points to yourself, when you get into fear, you get into the pride of life, one of the lusts of the world. That's the law. That's where we came out of. And that spirit of bondage, you live in the pride of life all your life till you're born again, and then you get to come into the realm of the spirit of life. But if you don't get your mind renewed, if you don't begin to know who you are in as a son, and we're going to talk about that tonight, and the love of God, you will stay in death as a carnal Christian, a carnal believer, because you do not have spiritual revelation, and you will die slowly. You will be frustrated, depressed, oppressed. Fear is, its purpose is to oppress you. That's all it's for. But in oppression, you and me are in the survival mode. I got to do this myself. I got to do this myself. I go into self-preservation. Whatever it is I got to do, I do. Self-independence, self-assertiveness. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And that's what the devil wants you and me to do, because that keeps us in the flesh, and that keeps him with the power over us, because we cannot battle him in the flesh. We have no power. We did not have the power ever to battle the devil. It was not for us to do. God had that. Still has it. But he gave it to us through Adam. And when Adam fell, then he lost it. So there was no effort. Any way we could do, nothing, nothing mankind could do was to get back to God. Nothing mankind could do to live the life that he was developed and formed for and created for. So when you are in death, you are in pride. You have fear. And you've got to understand, pride is more than just that attitude of your heart. It's the way you, if I can do this, I have to do it. My efforts, that self-righteousness. So there's where the devil knows, if I can keep you in death, it'll kill you. I don't have to do anything. But just, if I start seeing you trying to get out, I'm going to snag my little line I got. It's called a stronghold. I'm not letting you go. Because when you begin to start looking for God and seeking God, you're going to get more afflictions. Usually that's what happens. So when you know that, you know you're on the right road. If there are afflictions from the devil, we're moving in the right direction, right? So fear that is just the passion of our nature, which excites us to provide for our own security on the approach of evil. Pride. I got to provide for my own security. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. That's self-preservation. I got to do something to, I have to do something. I got to do something, okay? It's uneasiness of the mind, is anxiety, is solicitude, and solicitude is this carefulness and concern, anxiety, uneasiness of the mind occasioned by the fear of evil or the desire of good. Carefulness is, means trouble, full of care, anxiety, anxious, attentive to support and protect. And you hear God always says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care. Why does he tell us that? Because he knows that's fear in your heart. And you and I cannot battle fear. You can't process it out. We can't do anything. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit in us, but we have to yield to that. We have to know what's going on so we can open our heart to him and then turn to him and talk with him and let him tell us and show us how to turn to God instead of to the fear, okay? So, in the garden, we had the temptations. I'm just going to throw you there because this is the lust of the world. In the garden in Genesis, when Adam and Eve had, when Eve had eaten of that tree, before she ate, the devil was tempting her. He was about to snare her. He just like he does you and me. He's tempting us to snare us So he can cause us to be offended and fall, so we cannot see God. We're separated from him. That's all he's doing with fear. And he's very subtle with it. There are sudden fears, but he doesn't use sudden fear on a regular basis. He's a snake, and he will take you, and he'll press on you. You'll know you got something that's not God on you. But he moves very slow, like a boa constrictor. I've had it. It took about 3 or 4 years, but I got squeezed. When he gets ready to clamp down, he's got you so wrapped with himself. When he squeezes, you're like that rat or that mouse trying to get away from that snake. It's almost too late. Well, it is for the rat, but not for you and me, because we got God. But it sure is easier to do it before he wraps you than it is when we let him wrap us, right? Because we have dominion over him. We don't know that. We're afraid of the devil, and we shouldn't be. He's like Pastor Trey said, he's actually very afraid of us, which is very true, because we have God in us. He ain't afraid of you and me. He's afraid of the God that lives inside of us. And if we understand that we're just like him and sons of God, he is really afraid of us because we're one with God. Okay? But when Eve ate, Satan said to her, he goes, look at that tree. And she says, it's pleasant to the sight. And in 1 John 2:16, these are the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh. If Satan can get your eyes to avert to something like, wow, whoa, look at her, not me. A man looking at her. I want to clarify that again. It's not me looking at Shannon. But he'll try to get me to do that too. I mean, this day and age, so hey, baby. You know what I mean? Look. It happens to you. So anything, if your eyes are not looking right, don't look at any male or female. Just put it that way. But if he can get you to dart your eyes over, then he's going to tell you, she said, oh, it's good for food. Then you're going to get the lust of the eyes because your eyes are perceiving. That's not the, what I'm looking at is like the perception of that fruit. If I could just have that one time, I'd be satisfied. No. That's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And then he said to her, she says, in the midst of the garden, it would make you the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It would make you wise, and you will be like gods. Pride of life. He instantly, once he got her attention and pointed the tree to her with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, he instantly went to herself. He's going to trap you. He's going to snare you by getting you to look at something. And then he's going to bring it right back to you because now he's showing you. And if you look at you just without God, you're sunk. We're dead in the water. But he's going to do that. And he always will pull you back to pride of life. Always. And that's just self. What can you do for yourself? Hey, Eve, look, She said, oh, he'll make you wise and you'll be like gods. Well, he had already had the wisest tree set in the garden, the tree of life. If she had have eaten of that wisdom, things would have been different, but she didn't. She got distracted and deceived by the devil, by the Satan, the snake. And so they ate. Adam ate. And he fell. And when he fell, he hid from God. Because he knew instantly, the Lord said, if you eat from that tree, the day you eat from that tree, you shall surely die. And that's die. In death, separated from me, you're going to die. And when Adam ate, it was like death just instantly. Boom. In his heart, he knew he was separated. In his mind, he knew he was separated. He knew he was separated from God because something changed. Something changed. And he saw himself. Before, he had never seen himself naked. He didn't see that. He saw him and Eve naked. They were one. They were naked, but they didn't see the lust naked. I have to hide. So he says, they made leaves. They covered themselves. This is before God got there. But they knew they had to cover. They were in self-preservation. I got to cover. And they covered themselves. And then when God did come, like I said, the first time I recognized God, they said, we heard your voice in the garden. And there was a significant spiritual change that took place that day. Because before that, God was just having conversation, but you never heard Adam say, I heard your voice. He was just talking to him, and it was a momentum of just a togetherness. You know, it was like when you're the Spirit of God is speaking to you, you just know he's speaking to you. But when he fell, he goes, I heard your voice in the garden. There came another hearing that was not the same as before. It was more, he's in his natural state, uncovered, and that fear came over him. So he hid. So when he hid from the presence, he says, and I hid in the, when he hid in the trees, he hid. He's saying in that word, I turned from the presence of God and I hid. And that word hide, withdraw, when you study the root word, it actually means a love, a fervent love. Love is included in there. And then on that, it's a burning, a shining. See, when Adam fell, he fell from the glory of God. He turned. Shame hit him. That's fear. That's called terror. Terror is actually shame. It's terror. It's fear. It's just. It's not that blushing. It's a. If I can find that definition. It's fear. He was naked before he fell, and he wasn't afraid. Genesis 2:25 says, but after he fell, he was ashamed. It's fear. And when he lost the glory of God, he fell from it. He fell from a higher place to a lower place. He fell from the life realm of God to a death realm. And he became pale in terror. That's what shame, pale, terror, like scared to death, because I bet you he was. When his eyes opened, when death hit, sudden fear. Naked, I mean, I don't know the process of it, but that's what it's, if you see it in the garden, that's what's happened. And he ran and he left the love of God. And so that's where the spirit of bondage, the spirit of fear got in the heart of man. That's what we became. And that's the tool that the enemy used. So, you know, God was very aware of all this. So what we need to do, and I'm going to go into it, I'm not going to stay on fear, get the teaching and just get more on it, because I don't have time to go over it. And there's so much more in that. But we're going to talk about sonship and the love of God, because 1 John 4:7 tells us, and you know the writer John, now understand this, you got to, when you're reading these, it really helps you to know who's writing this, because if you understand John knew the love of God better than any disciple or apostle that was out there. So when he writes these letters to us, he's writing with the knowledge of this deep love that God has for him. That's why these are very rich when you grab it with the understanding of God's love. You begin to see what John was seeing and talking about, because he's actually, you know, he's engaged with the Lord, and he's writing this out with a heart of pure love. I really believe that, because he was, I don't know how he got that. It doesn't tell us, but he did. It was there for us. But he says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And that word made perfect just means mature, full knowledge, complete with the knowledge of God's love. And if you have that, if we have that, it pushes fear out. It's no room for fear to enter in, because we don't allow it to, because we're so grounded, rooted and grounded, as Ephesians 3:17, you're rooted in, we're going to go there, because we're going to talk about the love of God. It's extremely, it is everything. And the only place we can have it is as a son of God. So if you get that, because it says right here, fear has torment. That's saying fear has its own punishment, torment. You'll be agitated, you'll be depressed, you'll be oppressed, you'll be whatever, frustrated, concerned, anxious, That's the power of fear on you. Don't be in that. It will kill you. It's got its own punishment. If you know anybody that's been in war or traumatic experiences, PTSD, that's all that is extreme sudden fear that came upon their heart. And they can't, because they don't understand fear, and they live there. And it will kill you very slowly. My brother, a Vietnam vet, lived there all his life. Knew the Word of God. Like I said last week, he could quote it to me, but he didn't know the life of that written word behind it, that he could live from it. Didn't want to know it, because he was so prideful. See, you understand, fear and pride go hand in hand. When you're in pride, you're in fear. If you're in fear, you're in pride. You better identify that and know it, because you're in self. Get out. Get out. Come up back up to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So this is what it says. In there is no fear in love. So how do we get out of that? We cannot perfect the flesh. We're not here to try to perfect the flesh. It is an impossible task. It's corrupt. So God says, I got the answer. I'll bring my son, who is a man, come in as a man, born of a woman, of the flesh. So he had that same law in his flesh, the law of sin and death. He was sinless because he was pure in his spirit, but he still had the reign of death that was possible for him to give in to. And he did become obedient to death the day of the cross. That death, the realm of separation, he became obedient to it, and the death of the physical death of the cross. He did both for our sake, to set us free. So we had some avenue of getting out of there. How do we get out of this, we said. And then if you understand, is I think it's 2 Timothy 1. I got my Bible. Hold on. 2 Timothy. This was something that Marcia, we were talking about last week. And I used a scripture, but I didn't tell you where it was. And I think, where did I? 2 Timothy 1:10. Actually, 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. That's the separation from God. He's abolished that realm and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He didn't say, I destroyed death. I've destroyed the works of the devil, he says in John, which is the flesh works, the works of drunkenness, adultery, murder, all that, idolatry. He has destroyed that work. How? By bringing us higher than the flesh realm. By abolishing death, meaning it's not effective to us anymore. If we don't live there, we have the ability to live above it and out of it. So it doesn't, anything that's in that law of sin and death has nothing to do with you and me. If we understand that the sonship, the forgiveness of sin, and his love. So let's go to, let's just start on sonship. It's Galatians 4:6. It says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because we are sons. John 1:12. But as many as received him, who Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Believing on the name of Jesus. The name is huge. I'm not going to talk about the name, but you need to know the name. Because if you don't know the name, what are you believing on? If you don't know what you have in the name, what are you believing on? That's another day of self-study, y'all. But he gave us the power to become sons. Who? Jesus Christ. Not in our own effort. We were not able to do it. Romans 8. Romans 8:14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it goes into 8:15 where it says, you have not received that spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, which means sonship, that we can call him Abba, Father. Remember, nobody called him Father before Jesus. They didn't know him by that name. That was very unusual, strange for them to hear. That was very offensive for someone like Jesus and the disciples to call him Father, because he was God the Creator to the Jew. He wasn't a father. They couldn't grab that concept. So he was saying, I'm bringing this personal relationship to you so you can call me Father. It's personal. It's one-on-one, person to person. No more is it an act of what you would do for me. It's now I'm going to do for you. I'm going to serve you. So then that really just upset them when they heard that. Okay, 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creatures waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, the earth is waiting for us to manifest ourselves. It's out there crying, sons of God, where are you? Because when you get up and raise up where you're supposed to be, I get to be set free because Christ will be coming back. Come on. See, if the creation knows, I mean, I think about that. If the creation knows, when I walk out and that tree out there knows that I should be a son of God. I mean, I just think like that. I might just be thinking out there in right field, but that's how I like to think. You know I'm a son of God, don't you? You know, I talk to those things all the time. Jesus did. Philippians 2:15. I always look at that. Excuse me. 2:15 and 16. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shall shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day. See, here's what we're supposed to be doing. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. You have to be a son of God to be blameless and harmless. And once you're a son of God, you are that. But you got to find that. You have to go discover what is that for me to live out my daily life. And then he says, it's without rebuke. In a crooked and perverse nation. Why? So that you can shine as lights in the world. We are supposed to be a light for the Gentile. We are a light for the Gentile because we got Christ in us. And we're the glory of his people. I was sharing with her today. If I walk in amongst the world, I should be shining with the glory of God. But the Gentile can't see the glory because they haven't had their eyes peeled from the flesh yet, from the circumcision of the heart. But you and me as believers, we should be reflecting the glory of God one-to-one. And the body of Christ is not doing that. Within our own family, we're not reflecting the glory. We're still living in carnality. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, quit singing about it and start meditating on it and let it come forth out of you instead of just feeling good for a moment. The devil doesn't care if we rejoice like that because he knows it does us nothing. It's not helping anybody, really. I don't mean this to be ugly and rude in that. I'm really believing that it's time. I'm really believing that God is moving in the hearts of the people here at High Point. I know he is. I know he's looking for the high point. I have set you as a light on a mountain. Why? To shine. Not for you to get the glory, but for him. But before we can do that, we need to be able to see the light that's inside of us. To look at him glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory to glory. And then the world will notice that we're different. It's not about the church down the street noticing we're different. It's about the world noticing we're different. And us being sons of God. Mature sons of God, That's mature sons, if you want to walk in the love of God. It's mature love, mature sons, okay? And then 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love, hear this, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him. Beloved. That word just means to be loved. And he's calling his sons of God beloved, because you're loved. So just be loved. Now that we are sons of God, and I'm not reading it, but now that we are sons of God, because you're born again, you're now a son of God, right? So, what do you think Satan is after? When he's coming and putting fear on you and me, what do you think he's after? Well, he's after that. But what is it he wants to take away from you, or pull the wool over your eyes? As being a sheep, let's pull the wool over the eyes. Sonship. He is not tempting you and me with sin, because he knows that's taken care of. He does know that. He is a spiritual being. He's been defeated. He has been stripped away. Everything's been stripped from him. He knows sin is not a problem with God. The only thing he has power with us is fear into the death realm. So if he can tempt you and me with our identity as a son, he can deceive us. And that's all he's doing. Anytime you get into fear, anytime you get into, when I say fear, that power of fear comes on you, and you feel a pressure coming on you in your emotions to trigger you. He knows the stronghold he set in your heart a long time ago. He knows which ones to push on you to get you in fear. And you feel the line tug. You feel the bait. You take that bait. That's a snare coming. There's a trigger fish. Is there a fish out there that does that? He has a little worm that comes out of his mouth called a trigger fish. And he sticks it out there and they'll jump it and he's going to kill them. That's what Satan is doing. I'm setting you up. So if he comes and he presses on you, he is really looking for you to look at self. Because the minute you look at self, you've just stepped out of sonship. You've just stepped out of who you are. That's what he's doing. If I can get you to self, you're in pride, you're in death. I don't have to do anything. It's killing you by itself. You are now double-minded. You're running back and forth. Well, I know this word of God, but I'm over here. And the power of the fear will take you, because if you're not established in that love and you're not firm and rooted and grounded in his love, the devil is going to try to pull you out of love. Because once we're out of love, we're not walking with God. He walks in love. He doesn't walk in fear. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, let's turn to, I'm just trying to show you where sonship and love comes together. Let's go into Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 3. Now this excites me, and I'm like, when our sweet brother Link Cheney passed away, I wasn't there, but I heard at his memorial when Pastor Trey was given his eulogy and stuff, he had made this statement about Link having a moment. Well, it was actually because Marcia and myself and Susan went a few days later, because I was sharing something with her that I received from the Lord that day at that memorial. Pastor Trey was saying that Link was laying in the bed, and if I get the story wrong, I think you were there. Were you there, Minton? Okay. So Susan, I think, had him with herself. if I understand correctly, because nobody, her dad wasn't there yet either. His dad wasn't there either. But he was seeing in heaven. And he reached over and grabbed Susan and trying to pull her in bed, because she said they had always believed that they would go together, die and go to heaven together. And she says, I think he was trying to get me to go with him. But he was pulling her, trying to get her to come into bed. And he was going, Susan, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? It's four dimensions. I'm free. Man, when I heard him say that, I got a vision. I can't say it wasn't a vision, but in my heart, I wanted to jump up and holler. And it's four dimensions. He goes, it's four dimensions. And the minute he said that, Ephesians 3:17 came to my heart immediately, because I had already been talking with the Lord. He's been showing me the dimension of the spirit realm to some degree. And I was able to see three dimensions. I didn't think about four dimensions. But when Link said that, he preached the gospel, y'all. Now, he did this for 15 or 20 minutes. I thought he did that at the moment he left this earth. He did not just do that at the moment he left this earth. He was laying in that bed for 15 or 20 minutes, and he was free. And I don't believe he was really saying, I'm free out of this wheelchair. When you are walking in the love of God, you are absolutely free. Free. Nothing touches you. And he was so excited about that. And I was like, wow, Lord, thank you. I got it. Four dimensions. Now, I'm sure there's probably more, but right here in this Bible, it says there's four dimensions of my love that I want you to know and be rooted and grounded in, so you will be full of God. And I said, woo, we don't have to wait to depart here to see it. We can see it today, while on this earth. And I know that Link wanted to see it, because I know he loved the Lord. He loved Jesus. His heart was there. He just had a lot of things that wavered him, just like you and me do. And if the enemy can keep us there, we can't walk towards that dimension. So I have been pressing into this scripture for years. When I was just born again and got in the Word of God, this was one of the coolest scriptures. I just loved it. I had no clue what it really meant. God just heightened certain scriptures. And as you grow, he starts showing you these things, and they become fuller and fuller in your heart. But it starts at 16. Let's go to 16, because he goes, 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. This is where we're living from, y'all. We are not living in the world. Get out of living in the world and live in the spirit. The spirit man. Learn to connect to God through your spirit. And that takes that takes a very personal relationship, which that's the greatest thing you can do. Sit with the Lord and let him draw you and bring you to a full, mature son of God. Because only a son can have that faith, that like precious faith. It's the faith of Christ. Only a son can have that. And he says he wants this, that Christ dwell in your heart. And if Satan can take you out of faith by putting fear on you, because by grace through faith, salvation, if he can get you and me away from faith, because the righteous live by faith, then we can't let Christ dwell in us richly. Satan's not trying to kill you. Death will kill you. I mean, he's trying to kill you, but he's not the one doing it. Quit blaming him for it, and just look at yourself in the mirror and go, you know, I'm the only reason that that's happening. I'm getting down to real nuts and bolts here. Seriously, we want to blame the devil. Oh, that kind of sounded like Eve, didn't it? Well, he deceived me. But you had my word, Jesus, the Lord said. He didn't say that. I'm just saying in my conversation. You had my word. I gave you a word. I gave you a word. Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from that tree. The minute you get in flesh, don't eat from that tree. You better hear the Lord say, don't eat from that tree. That's not the tree I want you to eat off of. Eat off the tree of life. whatever, however he talks to you, right? So anyway, he says, by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And here's our problem. We are not rooted and grounded in love. Now, you may say you are, but if you're not walking in the full power of God, well, we're not fully rooted and grounded there yet. I'm not there yet. That may be why. So that here's why. You got to be able, if you're rooted and grounded by faith, you may be able to comprehend with all the body of Christ what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ. That's four dimensions. When you understand, and that's, I have just, when your heart, it's amazing, and I love the Lord because he's so gracious and so faithful. You have a desire, he puts them in you, you're seeking it, but you don't have the hardness of the heart is still there, so you can't hear that scripture. But you keep pressing in. And you eventually you keep coming back to it, and you keep coming back to it over time because he's connecting the dots, and it all like, wow, there it is. And then all of a sudden, this becomes life. That day, that November the 8th, when Link passed from death to life fully to that place, when he spoke the gospel, that was the most powerful thing that man could have ever said and left this earth. The blessing he gave his wife, Susan, to know there's God. I see him. And he's waiting for you to get to know him before you come out of this skin, because you can. I believe he was saying more to Susan, and I shared that with her. I have shared that with her. But it excited me, because if Link could have it while he's laying in bed, and then the moment he came out from the spirit, how, and I don't know why he went there in that capacity, but he did. All the pain and everything else hit his body, and the enemy tried to snatch all that away from him with fear of pain and everything else. So see, when we're in love, this stuff that goes on in this body, you don't even pay attention to it. You have dominion over it. If you're walking in love, it probably is not really activated in there, because love just takes it out. It pushes it away. I don't know. I'm just talking right now. That's just what I asked the Lord about that. You know, so I was excited. So let me just give you a definition of that word breath, B-R-E-A-D-T-H. Freedom from narrowness or restraint, liberality, freedom. It's not a measurement. It's a thing. It's God. Freedom. Length. It says extent in time. Well, God doesn't really function in time, but it's duration. What's the duration of God's love for you? What is the freedom of God's love for you? Know this, he's saying. Get to know what this is for you. The depth, that's the gravity, the seriousness, intensity as of silence, the color of the rainbows. I love the rainbow. I love any prism that cuts the light and throws a rainbow on my wall. I will stare at it as long as it stays there. The intensity of those colors are just drawing. That is the intensity of God's love. If you look at a rainbow on the wall, go home and get your prism and start looking at the depth of God's love for you and me. He is intense for our love. It's intense love. It puts you to, it's really like, oh, it's just that silence when you sit with him. Sometimes he's so intense, he just likes to be quiet. Most of the time he really likes for us to be quiet and just know him. Not hear him in the voice of a, but know. You feel that intensity? That's me. You feel free? That's me. I don't want this to stop. That's me. Duration. I'll carry it with you. You can carry it wherever you go. And the height. That means considerable. Considerable. Abundant. Large. What's the abundance of his love? And the synonyms for those are big, great, huge, substantial, bountiful, lavish. And the only way you're going to know that love is to know that you're a son of God. And this is why we struggle. I believe we struggle today because we don't know. We hear we're a son of God, but we don't know with a relationship that's one-on-one with him that love. We don't know that intensity, that depth. We don't know that. So we walk around double-minded and we receive nothing. Not that he hasn't given it, but we're not receiving it because we're hard in one area. Fear will harden your heart to the word of God. You want your, and you know why, and I'm learning this now, I'm just saying this. I'm studying this. I've been studying on fear for a long time because I've walked through this. That's why I can talk about it, because I've been set free more and more from that fear because I know now how to walk as a son of God. I'm walking more as a son of God through his love, by his love, from his love, by the spirit realm, seeing things in the spirit. So as I begin to walk there, but I have experienced this, I know this stuff from real life, and so do you. You just haven't seen it. And when your heart is hard, what hardens a heart is what you don't consider you get hardened to. So if you're constantly considering fear, 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 Pastor Trey can stand up here and preach all day long. Pastor Robert, any of us that get up here and speak, we can look out there and we can see someone nodding out, sleeping, and it's not, you know what it is? And it's not, no condemnation here, but I can tell you, spirit of slumber, spirit of fear. You want to know why you're slumbering and you're drowsy? Because you've got the power of fear pressing on you. Your heart is hardened to the word coming out of the pulpit. And if you have this, when you walk into church, judge yourself. Know when you sit down. Do you instantly? And you just think you're tired. Yawning. That's fear. See, you don't understand. You got to understand what fear does, the power of what it is. It's an oppression. And it's here to harden your heart because you don't have any understanding. It will cause you can't get understanding. So you go bored. It's not bored. It's a spiritual power that's come over you. That's all it is. But if you discover that, you'll know the wiles of the devil. You'll begin to recognize it. You ought to let your brothers and sisters that's in your body of Christ sit next to you and say, you know, I've noticed you sleep a lot, or you have a tendency to nod out. Can we talk about, you know, I don't mean this. I'm being serious, y'all. This is what this is about, coming together here, because this is where it's going to take place more than any place, when the word of God comes forth. Because the devil says there's a pathway called the beaten path, and that's your heart if you're the one sleeping. Because it's so hard, it can't hear. You're not understanding, so you just get boring. And you're not saying boring, but that's what, you know what I'm saying? Boring. And it's like, boring? What are you talking about? Man, that person was just spitting out life all over you. But your heart's not open to it. And the enemy that's what he wants. He's not here to help you hear the word of God. He's here to take it from you. And the power of fear is his biggest influence. I think it's his only influence. So when we begin to walk in the love of God and you begin to get your heart softened to his love, you can begin to walk as a mature son of God. Now remember, in the garden, not in the garden, when Christ came and he was born, see, and I want to make sure that y'all understand something I said last week about us pursuing the spiritual gifts. Don't get me wrong, we need the spiritual gifts. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. What I'm saying is what we need first is to be rooted and grounded in the love. Because Corinthians says, if you do this, I can have all the faith to move a mountain. I can do this. I can do that. But it profits me nothing. It benefits me no way. It is nothing. It's kind of like a clanging cymbal, a tinkling brass. Wood, hay, and stubble. Silver, gold, or precious stones. Which one is coming forth from you? See, and we're all wanting the gifts, and we forget who provides them because we're a son, and he wants to mature us, because when we walk there, do you know how much more powerful those gifts are going to run and be when they walk, when they come from you? Because it's really from a position of love, which is all the power. You have all the power when you walk in love. All the power of the universe of God is in you, in me. And when we walk in love, there is nothing that can touch us. Nothing. It's going to try, but if you stay in love, it cannot touch you and bring you down. Cannot. It's impossible with God for anything to touch him. That's why Christ was never afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be afraid, because I'm with you. Jesus went about in Acts. He went about healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Christ had no fear in his heart. Christ walked. He was several times tempted to be stoned and thrown off the cliffs. And he just walked right on out of that place with no fear, because there was no fear. Nothing can touch him, because he's staying in the love of God. And all the devil's doing is trying to pull him out. You said you're the Son of God when he took him to the wilderness and he told him he was the Son of God? Satan heard that. I don't think he fully understood what it meant, but he said, that's the Son of God. I got to go for that one right there. Let me see if he knows who he's really the Son of God. Tempted him in the wilderness just like he takes you and me. So you think you're the Son of God? So you think you can lay hands on that person over there? And then you get in fear. There's that thing we talk about when you ask that question about how do I know if I'm praying in fear? Well, if you're looking at yourself, you're praying in fear. You think you're a Son of God? You think you can lay hands on him? Then you start fearing, and there's the enemy. That's the enemy. Shut up, enemy. Shut up. I am a Son of God. And then you talk and you say the things you know to be true about you, and then you walk on into it anyway. Okay? You don't stay there. You come out of it. You don't let him snare you, because fear brings a snare. Fear brings a snare. You know the results of fear. Don't be surprised when you have a problem. Was I in fear? Well, no, I was just a little concerned. Well, that's fear. Well, I don't see that as fear. Well, you know what? You need to quit seeing in your own understanding and open your eyes to what God tells you is fear. So we go, and so he just came to him several times with the same temptations he did Eve in the garden. And I'm going to show, it's already 8 o'clock, y'all. I'm going to talk about this real quick and let it go at that. It is the finished works of Jesus Christ. It is the greatest act that God ever did for mankind. It's called redemption. Redemption. And that was the greatest act of his love towards mankind. And every time you and me get into fear, we need to come back to redemption, which is the picture of the cross, which is the greatest picture of love. He showed me today, I'm hoping he'll bring it back to me the way he showed me today. He says, you know, Adam fell. Christ reversed what Adam did. That's all he did. He came to do exactly what the Father wanted him to do. I come to do the will of the Father. The Father told Jesus when he came on this earth as the Son, you are going to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's my will for you, is to eat off that tree. And he told Adam, you don't eat off that tree. Will of the Father. He had to do the opposite. But he had the voice of, could have come in there and started defending himself. Yes, I am the Son of God. I told you that. That's what you and me do, because see, devil, through man, pointed him to him. You said you're the Son of God? Jesus didn't look at self. He didn't even go there to see self. He just saw the Father. That's what we do. Just see the Father. Just see what the Father is about. See the Father. So when we stay there on the cross, deny yourself. You want to be with me, Jesus said? Deny yourself. Matt, deny your abilities. Deny anything that you think you can do. Your self-assertiveness, your own understanding. Deny that. Take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. We were studying this in Sunday school the other week, and the Lord gave the most, I mean, a prophetic voice just rose up, and it's Matthew 27, when he was on the cross. I don't know it word for word. I just want to read it, because Larry was reading the scripture, and then the Holy Spirit just started speaking. It's like, whoa. Matthew 27:42. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from that cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The Lord said, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And he says, what you and I must do before to defeat the devil, every time we go anywhere, we must see ourselves on that cross. Do not ever come down off that cross to defend yourself. Christ did not do that. He did not come off that cross to defend his authority as Son of God. And he didn't voice it. He just, that's love. Did he have the power to do it? He did. That's humility. I know who I am. I don't need to defend myself. Pride of life will say, defend yourself. Make sure you're right. Tell him you're right. Whether you're wrong or right, tell him you're right. And the Lord said in that prophetic voice, he said, do not come off that cross. He goes, you want to defeat the devil? Stay lifted up. Stay lifted up. Rise up to that place of life. Raise yourself up. Stay up on the cross. Raise above the ground. Come above the natural land. Don't put your feet back on dirt, because when you come on dirt, you're in enemy territory. You have just self-defeated yourself. You have come out of the sonship. And now you're going to get eaten alive by death. So if you understand the power of God's love, we have that ability because he is love and he lives in us. And we can walk in the fullness of that love. If we'll get rooted and grounded in it. If we'll just remain in that place and begin to study out who you are as a Son of God. There's so much more to share. You can't share this in an hour. It takes a lifetime, but begin tonight if you don't know. Begin tomorrow. Start now when you walk out of here. Start now before you walk out of here. Lord, help me to know your love. Help me to know your love. Holy Ghost, you know all. I'm going to come to you and ask you a million questions. And he's never going to say, don't ask me another question. You may not get your answer right there, but he's not going to stop you from asking questions, okay? He wants you to know him. So you can go forth. So we can go forth and bring life to people. That's what we're called to do, bring eternal life to man. You can't do it if you don't know it. If you're not a son in your head and your awareness, rather, if you don't know the knowledge of your sonship, which is your righteousness, it's everything, you will be defeated. I'm not cursing you with a word. I'm telling you that what the Word of God says. So it is very important that we know who we are as sons, and do not ever sway away from it. I'm a son of God. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I feel like. I'm a son of God. Lord, and like I said, like I said the other day, when he told me, he says to me, my friend Mary prayed for me the other day, and she prays, you want some powerful prayers, this woman can pray you the Word of God with life, not just because she knows, she prays with life. She prayed the prayer so personal. She was praying to Christ. She wasn't praying to me. She was praying to the Christ in me. And she said to me, to Christ in me, it's by the wound that you took for her she's healed. Do you know how that came alive inside of me? Not just by his stripes you're healed, Arlene. By that wound you took for her, she's healed. I saw the picture. It was very personal. You have to see him that way. He says, don't just say, I said, by your my stripes you're healed. See the work I did to accomplish so that you can say what I did. And there's the power. When you and I say and agree with the work that we see, and if you don't see the cross and you don't know the cross, you won't be able to speak it with the power of God. That makes it, we're looking at life. Again, it's about life and death. It's not about right and wrong. If your thought pattern has taken you to death, you better change your thought and come back to life. He said, take up your, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He is life. Follow life. Just follow life in your heart, because you will always go on the right path, not the wrong path. Don't try to put this life on Marcia, because what's life for Marcia in him is different. It's still the Jesus, but my conscience may be more pure than her conscience. And if she has a defiled conscience, she will follow death if she tries to do what I tell her to do. You see what I'm saying? So you can't put your light on somebody else and expect them to walk. You can give them an understanding of your revelation light, of the light of Christ, so they can seek it. Well, it's not happening for me. You know, well, seek the Lord. Help, he'll help you. So you see what I'm saying? So we're following life, not death. Life, not death. And that's found in love. Well, you know, it's like he said, he brought to us immortality and the light of life. And that's what we are supposed to be given out, is the light of life. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is about his glory. Because see, Christ was glorified back with him. He had to enter into death because Adam fell out of the glory. So Christ entered into that place so he could be glorified and bring it back and bring mankind back into the glory, to the presence of God. That's all that is. That's not all that is, but I mean, it's the presence of God, being in the presence of God always. We now can do that. We couldn't do that before. So we do have I like that when you said that. We can see anything that he has, if we ask the Holy Spirit. There's some things God's not going to show to us. They're hidden until later. But anything else that pertains to help us, pertaining to life, he's already given us. He says that in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, whatever. There's all kinds of things we have going on there. But if we don't know that, and if you don't know it, here's the key. If you don't know you're forgiven, if you don't understand you're forgiven by the redemptive work, you'll never enter into the love, because love floods after forgiveness. Whew, love. The minute you and I say, I give my life to you, Romans 5:5, the love of Christ is shed abroad in your heart. But if you don't know you're forgiven, you will always look to yourself, and that's what the enemy is hoping for. If you don't understand the forgiveness, and I would love to talk more and more, but I can't because it's 8:13. But it's really powerful when you know the love of God. You cannot fail. I think that's a great promise. Peter says, when you walk in that divine nature, 2 Peter 1, that chapter, when you're walking in that divine nature, you cannot fail. And he goes, and when you don't, here's the reason. You've forgotten, your sins have been purged. And when you don't know that, you can't walk by faith. If you think you're still in a state of sin or in trouble with God, you're not going to be in faith. It's fear. And you're not going to be able to walk, because faith works by love. They go hand in hand. So it's just a rich, God is rich, he says it. So all we can do is ask the Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know. Help me. And he'll be more than happy to step up to the plate and hit you a home run.